Name of Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to help me out at the beginning of today's sermon. If you will, turn to page 323. Page 323, that's one of the pages, the small catechism, is on. And let's look at the third article of the Creed. The first article, of course, deals with God the Father, and the second teaches of God the Son, and the third article of God the Holy Spirit. What is the third article? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And what does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. And I have a confession to make. I inadvertently robbed you of the concluding verse of the Holy Gospel, so I want to read that to you. I'll do it in context. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. And here it is. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Didn't I leave that verse out? I did. Thank you. Someone's paying attention when I wasn't. This next Sunday is the Festival of Pentecost, the festival upon which God the Father and Christ Jesus, his Son, our Lord, poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church, the Holy Christian Church. And what was the purpose of this outpouring of the Spirit, not just upon a select few of God's people, but upon the entire people of God? That question is answered in verse 6 of the hymn of the day, where we pray to the Holy Spirit, teach us to know the Father, Son, and you from both as three in one, that we your name may ever bless, and in our lives the truth confess. The work of the Holy Spirit is to direct us to Jesus, to direct us to the one whom we cannot know or believe in by our own reason or strength. The one who works through the proclamation of the gospel and all the gifts of the gospel to bring us to faith, to deliver to us the forgiveness of sins, to strengthen us and keep us firm in the faith which we confess, even in the face of difficulty, hardship, ostracism, persecution, and even martyrdom. You may have heard that this past week there have been Christians martyred for the sake of the name of Jesus. In Egypt, it was, I believe, 28 who were on a bus and some terrorist militants apparently associated with ISIS stopped the bus and told the people to basically confess that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad in his prophet. They refused. Again, 28 at least were shot in the head, and quite a few others injured. How did these Christians facing death find the strength to remain steadfast in their confession of faith in Christ, in their confession of faith in the triune God? It was the work of the Holy Spirit who enabled them to do so. And Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit in this translation, the English Standard Version. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Helper. Helper can also be translated Comforter or in other ways, Advocate. But I want to use the word Comforter because the Holy Spirit comforts us and indeed helps us in times when we may be tempted to deny the triune God who has redeemed us and made us his people through holy baptism, times when we may be tempted to deny him by our actions, by open blatant sin against God's holy commandments, or by denying our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot by our own strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him or continue to confess him, but the Holy Spirit has called us and gathered us as one Christian body in Christ. He has sanctified us. He has enlightened us with his gifts. And he keeps us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. He keeps us with the whole Christian church in the one true faith. When these martyrs in Egypt and the Philippines died, they died as members of the one holy Christian church. And the Holy Spirit was the one who enabled them to remain in Christ in the one true faith that brings salvation to a lost and sinful human race. Jesus says in today's gospel, when the Helper / Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. Now, in the verse I quoted from today's sermon hymn, we entreat the Holy Spirit to teach us to know the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three in one. And again, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot look at the trees outside or the flowers blooming or hear the birds singing or feel the wind blowing on your face or see the glow of a beautiful sunset and think, hey, God is triune. God is three in one. God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became man to suffer and die for me. No, you can't do that. You can't believe in this triune God through those things. Now, as a believer in the triune God, you can appreciate those things as a gift, a first article gift of the triune God, but it is only through the work of the Spirit, here who is counted as equal to the Father and the Son. It is only through the work of the Spirit that you can know the one true God who saves and redeems you through Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus says, when the Helper Comforter comes, he will bear witness about me. That word bear witness is related to the word for martyr. A martyr is one who bears witness in its specialized sense. A martyr is one who bears witness to Christ, bears witness to the triune God by giving up his or her life for the faith. But you are all martyrs. The Holy Christian Church is a martyr. We bear witness to the gospel. We bear witness to God's work of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We bear witness in the liturgy. We bear witness as those who gladly hear and learn the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel. We bear witness through the hymns that we sing and the creeds that we confess. We bear witness as those whom Jesus refers to as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We bear witness because the Holy Spirit has given us faith, and the Holy Spirit has given us the witness, and our witness is about Jesus Christ. As Jesus says to the disciples, "You will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." You don't bear witness to Christ as something theoretical, like maybe you could work out a problem of algebra right now if I asked you to. I know I couldn't do that. But really, what impact would solving that problem of algebra, except for the little ones who are in school, have upon your life? It would not be something upon which your life depended. It would not be something that probably, unless you were a math teacher, as Nancy Jo was, have any real bearing upon your life. But it's not so with the witness of Christ. Our witness is an experiential witness, informed and shaped and delivered to us by the Word of God. Our witness is the witness of those who know that our sins are forgiven in Christ. You know your sins are forgiven because God does not lie. You know your sins are forgiven because you were baptized into Christ Jesus. You know your sins are forgiven because that's what the preaching of the gospel declares to you. So yours is an experiential witness, an experiential testimony to God's love for the world in Christ Jesus. Jesus goes on to say, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, from apostatizing from the faith." And then he says, "They will put you out of the synagogues." In the first days of the church, the apostles and early believers gathered in the temple for the hours of prayer, just as any faithful Jew would. They also met in their homes for what we would know as the divine service. But gradually, over time, they began to be hated by the Jewish authorities as renegade Jews. An anathema came to be pronounced upon Christians, and Jesus Christ himself, in the prayers that Jews offered to God each day. And yet those prayers of anathema, those prayers of cursing, were mistaken. Jesus said, "They will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me." They thought they were serving God. When Stephen was stoned, Saul and the others who participated in his stoning thought they were offering service to God. And again, Jesus told the disciples beforehand that these things were going to happen. Again, he specifies that these things would be done to the apostles because those who did them have not known the Father, nor me. It's that way in the world today. It was that way at the time of Luther. You may have heard that Luther started a new church. That is not the case. He merely wanted to reform the Western church, to bring it back to the teachings of God's Word, getting rid of the extraneous traditions that obscured or contradicted the gospel, and he was excommunicated. He was cast out of the church. He did not intend to found a new church at all. The same thing happens today as we heard at the first of the sermon in other lands where Christians are actively persecuted on account of their allegiance to Christ. The Islamic extremists who do martyr Christians think they are serving their God, but they are not. They are serving, to be frank, the devil. It is those who give up their lives for the sake of Christ who are actually servants of God. And by their faithful confession, even in the face of death, bear witness to this God. I said earlier that another translation of Paraclete, the Greek word here translated helper, is comforter. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to you through the means of grace to comfort you when your sins are troubling you. He comforts you with the message that even though your sins be the size of the planet Jupiter, Christ is a bigger Savior and has carried those sins away from you. He comforts you with the thought that all who believe in Christ will not perish because God has given them everlasting life in Christ. He comforts you, the Holy Spirit does, with this message of a crucified Savior who is a gift of God's love and mercy to you. The devil accuses you. The devil would delight to make you stumble in your faith in Christ. The devil throws up all kinds of opposition against you and your faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit comforts you. He comforts you and strengthens you to face whatever opposition the Lord God may permit to come your way, even should you be called to give up your life for the sake of the gospel. And again, the Holy Spirit does not do that by waving a magic wand over you, by saying the triune equivalent of abracadabra or anything like that. He comforts you in the most ordinary ways, you could say. He comforts you in the gospel. He comforts you in the means of grace. He comforts and strengthens you as you receive the sacrament. He comforts you as you hear the prayers that are the hymns of the church, as you sing the praises of the triune God in these hymns. He comforts you and strengthens you and helps you, because that is indeed His work. So it is not by your own reason or strength, by your mental process or anything like that, that you come to faith in the triune God, that you can confess the name of the triune God, that you can face trials and difficulties and sufferings for the sake of the triune God. It is because of the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, whom God the Father and God the Son placed upon you in baptism, and who has gathered you into that community of the saved, the Holy Christian Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.